All right, brothers and sisters, tonight we're going to begin the study of Thessalonians. And this is Brother Paul's sweet letter to the Church of the Thessalonians. And it's not just the Church of the Thessalonians, it's the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll touch on such a precious meaning of that, I believe, this evening and a little bit later. But this is thought to be the very first letter that the Lord ever had Brother Paul write. And I think one thing to note here is the Lord was bringing this study to me, is that this was written somewhere between 13 to 15 years after he was converted on the road to Damascus. 13 to 15 years after he had taken the Lord and Savior as his personal Savior. And I guess what really strikes me about that is how cavalier and ignorant the church, and I'm talking about the Christian church, has become to think that, almost immediately upon accepting Christ Jesus as Savior, somehow we're qualified or that we're ready to go into the missionary field or that we're ready to be ministers. Now remember, he's the one that calls us. And I've spoken to some young people that have a desire to go into the ministry, and I think that's wonderful to have a heart for God. But remember, he's the one that calls you. He has to call you. You won't have the anointing by the grace of God. And he's the one. And I do think that people often get confused. The more and more the Lord has me in contact sometimes with different of my brothers and sisters in Christ, but very much so doing instead of letting, and going instead of waiting upon the Lord. And brothers and sisters, we need that in our individual lives, because we do have, each one of us have a ministry. We have a testimony. It might be just to your family and your household. I believe it's further reaching than that. I think it goes into your work, the people that you meet, whether it's at the grocery store or in your everyday lives. I want them to see Christ in me. I want them to notice that there is a different. Now, as the Spirit gives me utterance, that might be something else. But the conduct of faith in our lives, and we're going to read this about these sweet brothers and sisters in the Church of Thessalonica, what a testimony of faith and love and the grace of God that was in their lives, and is magnificent. But realize here too that in that same thought, 10 years, day and night study pretty much for Brother Paul. 10 years before he ever went on his first missionary journey. I mean, can you imagine that? And the audacity to think that, you know, we are just, you know, ready to roll. I think that old Moses, you know, he had 40 years growing up there. And we've talked about it before. And I'm sure he was thinking, well, I'm ready now, Lord. I'm ready to do what you want me to do. And the Lord knew what he was ready to do. He was ready to go tend sheep for another 40 years before the Lord was ready to use him in the way that he thought he needed to be used. Are we really after God's best in our life? See, that's the thing. Are we willing to wait upon the Lord? Are we willing to be patient and to take the place in the body, brothers and sisters, that God has called us to take? And it's a precious thing. And the transformation into the mature sons of God can actually happen very quickly. And I think with this young church, these Thessalonians, that's what's so exciting about them. They took it and ran with it. They believed God. They were satisfied with his word. And it's very precious. Think this is, again, the very first letter that Paul had written. So as we go on, I hope that we would remember that they that wait upon the Lord, as the Word of God says, shall renew their strength. As it goes on to say, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run, not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now that's the testimony I want to have. How about you? That's the ministry by the grace of God I want to be able to take. That's the salve and the honey that will be with you as you go forth to give out the Word of God. Now, let's talk a little bit about this Thessalonica, this city. It was a wealthy trade center. It was a port city that supplied Rome with much of their goods. And I think that's important to understand here is this was a very cosmopolitan place. There was a lot of, the think tank was there. They had the, if you want to say, the latest and greatest of things. So this wasn't just going into poverty-stricken places or something of that nature. It was reaching into that place. And by the grace of God, I kind of think of Denver. I think of the United States and how God, in His infinite mercy and grace, continues to reach forth into this country. But it seems that we're turning away from Him more and more as well, too. But there's still our people that are getting ready. He hasn't come yet, so He is obviously preparing those that are looking for Him to come. And this was such a wonderful type that we're going to read about with these wonderful saints. And it was Paul and Silas, as we're going to read here, that came to plant and water. Timothy was also along with them went a little bit later. But it was Silas, and this was Paul's faithful companion in the first missionary journey. This was in his second missionary journey that he went into Thessalonica. Barnabas was with him. And remember, Barnabas and Paul had that great parting asunder, as it says, and they went their different ways. And sweet Silas, God had a heart there that was a faithful minister and one that was helpful to Brother Paul. And as we get into this wonderful letter, you'll notice that most of the letters that Paul writes, it's I, Paul, or Paul, apostle, Paul called to be an apostle. And in this wonderful letter, as we begin, it's going to say Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy unto the church. It's a sweet thing that, you know, God can use us collectively at certain times as well, too. And this was a ministry. There was a oneness and a sweet oneness with these brothers as they were called to put this letter together. Obviously, Paul being the one that we are to follow as he followed Christ. But it just shows you, you know, I hope you understand that this is his ministry. This is our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is his ministry. And we're part of that. And it's part of that by His grace. And these brothers entered into that, not that they were obedient to Paul, but they were obedient to the Lord. And they were used mightily in that. And just to think that, you know, here was little Timothy, that God had a heart prepared there, just a young man, you know, or older boy, whatever you want to say. And God had a heart there that was going to be a benefit, a helper to Brother Paul. Such a mighty man of faith. And that's who God chose. So don't think that God is overlooking you, that you're not useful to God. Let me tell you something. You're His child. You're His vessel. And He wants to pour in you and pour forth the wonderful working power of His Spirit in your life. So as we go on in this, you'll see that there was such a working there. But when they went in to Thessalonica, they preached to both Jews and Greeks, and there were Jews that accepted, and there were many Greeks, it said, that received Paul's message. And he preached from the synagogue as kind of was his doing there, that the Lord had led him. And you'll read about this in Acts 17. And I think what's so precious here is that the unbelieving Jews were very upset and they wanted to come after him. And they made the quote that these guys turned the world upside down. Now, I think that's quite a statement there. And I hope you know that you living the testimony of Christ, and especially the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, you're turning the world upside down. Christ is doing that in us. And I've had Christians kind of shun me a little bit too. They said, well, you're believing too much. And sometimes I would go back to thinking about this. Well, is it kind of turning your world upside down too? It convicts the Word of God. It cuts in there. And this is what's so precious. As I was thinking about that dear sister Lydia, she was somebody that worshiped God. Do you know that? Just like Apollos, he was zealous of the things of God. Listen to the Word and how fortunate you are that God has opened your heart. He's opened your heart to receive this message. Do you know how privileged you are? I'm just telling you, I am so grateful to God for you and for the things that God is bringing to your life. That you have allowed God to open your heart by His grace. You're yielding for this treasure And to me, how could you not see this over and over throughout the Word of God that He wants this? But as the Lord brought to me, it's like the picture within a picture. You know, you can look at something and it has all those shapes and colors and everything. So, well, I can't see it in there, you know. But they say, oh, there's a fish in there or something. And then somebody will point it out and say, well, there's the fish, you know. And every time you look at it after that, it'll just keep jumping out at you. Oh, well, that's the only thing I see. Well, I look in here and I say, the only thing I see is my bridegroom. And it's true. I see it over and over. And that's like it says about Brother Paul. It's throughout all his epistles, just like Brother Peter said of Brother Paul. So wonderful there. But Thessalonica means victory over falsity. And I think how appropriate that is in such a cosmopolitan, really a heathen city. So many received the gospel in this. And I think what's even more precious is that in this letter, or these letters, I should say, as the Lord will lead us, if He tarry, the precious thing is how this young church was so precious to Paul. And even more so, how this young church was so precious to Christ. And as we read through this, you'll not get one mention of correction against these people. There's not one. There isn't. And it's wonderful. And it's wonderful because you're going to breathe a little sigh of relief after our Corinthians study, which was one correction after another correction after another correction. And then you think about the Galatians, how he had to come back to them and said, oh, ye foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Doesn't go on to say this about this sweet church. And the sweetest thing about it is they're writing to Paul, asking questions. They're seeking the right vessel. Boy, that's an important thing too. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. They sought out the ones that knew the Word of God. Seek out the ones that know the Word of God. See, God has given you teachers and He's given you preachers. We don't seek out things just because, well, that's the way I grew up. This is the way I feel. I go to church here because it feels right. Don't go there. You go by faith. And you search the Scriptures to see that those things are so, brothers and sisters. And I don't know how long any of us will be here. I don't. But I know if the Lord tarry, that's what we need to treasure is His Word. And His Word rightfully divided. And the truth that God has given us. And to hold it dear. As the Lord brought that thought, and that was just the Lord's thought, is we have a place where the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is not only preached, and not only believed, but it's cherished. It's cherished. It's treasured more than anything. And again, that's just the grace of God. That's the fervent love of the Spirit. That's a life that is full of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. You shouldn't have, should have every hair on your back of your head standing up on that one. But that's, by the grace of God, how we appreciate what the Lord is doing in us and His sweet people. So, but I believe really one of the greatest jewel here that's found, as it is found in all of Paul's letters, is the underlying and then at times the deafening cry, and we're going to get into these things, of the high calling message. The call to really the first rank overcomers. Brother Copley so sweetly notes that as opposed to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, which was written to the entire church, this one is so much more intimate. It's to the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like the church within the church. It's like the body within the body. He's going after a deeper portion. Isn't that wonderful? It's to all of God's people, but there's only going to be certain ones that receive this message. And I hope if the Lord tarry that we see how these people were so thankful for the Word of God. That they just settled down in the Word. They really just took the simplicity of what the Lord was saying. The depths are endless. We know that. And He'll reveal the layer upon layer to us, brothers and sisters. We don't have to act cerebral in this. If we do, we're going to miss the whole thing. Really. We come up here and we're going to try to spew out great knowledge of the things that we know. It's never going to have the anointing. God has got to do this. And it's wonderful. I'm standing back and watching the handiwork of God, and there's boldness going on in Him. Not boldness in what I know. I'm just bold in what He knows. I'm bold in what He gives me. And that's just been so exciting. I believe we're just cherishing that together. But these wonderful saints, they were encouraged, and as the Word of God says, they followed Paul as he followed Christ. And that word follow is imitate. Now, they weren't imitating a man. I hope you understand this. It's the faith and love. See, that's the whole key here, is that, you know, I've often heard Christians say, well, you're just following a man. You're too Paul crazy. No, I'm crazy about the message. I'm crazy about the faith and the love by the grace of God that was in that vessel, that the Word of God clearly tells me that it wasn't found, in a sense, in the ministry of any other brother or sister in Christ. It was found in Paul. That's how it began. That's how it was told. That's the vessel that God chose. And He wrote that. And the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God, just expounded to us, brothers and sisters, this message that was hid to the sons of men. It was the mystery. The angels wanted to look into it. The worthies of faith, whether it was Daniel, Ezekiel, Isaiah, all of them, they wanted to look into that even further. But it wasn't meant for them. God had a place for those brothers. It is meant for you. Absolutely. That dear sister that I was speaking with today, she said, I just felt that, she said, it was so sweet how to hear this. And it really was. She said, I just felt that I know this truth. I've heard this truth. It's been presented to me over and over, but I just feel like God wasted it on me. I said, now you're to a point that God can deal with you. God doesn't waste it on anybody. And He doesn't. He doesn't throw His pearl among swine. We know that. And brothers and sisters, that's why I'm telling you. You're in a meeting that God has counted you worthy to hear the depth of forever. The highest of the highest calling. The aristocracy of the universe. Most importantly, to win Christ. That's the Word of God. I mean, that is the Word of God. Believe it. Accept it. Cherish it. It will make everything really flee. It will. When we really seize that, the things of this earth are gone. Take this moment. Appreciate it. Because you're going to step out of here and start fighting the good fight of faith in about 35 minutes. Okay? Maybe even shorter than that. But that's what it is, and that's what God is moving in your life, and how privileged we are, brothers and sisters. So, as opposed to the Corinthians and the Galatians, who left the simplicity, they were always looking for something new. We studied that, didn't we? They were always looking for something else. They were not satisfied with Jesus alone. They continued to allow themselves to be led by the flesh. That's exactly what it was. I need sensationalism in my life. I've got to feel something. Let me tell you something. You get in the Holy Spirit, you'll feel stuff you've never felt before. And you know what I'm talking about. It will just continue to bring you to a higher level. And you'll go into depths with Him that you'll say, well, you've taken me to the heights. It was just like we were talking about on Sunday. The splendor of seeing the Grand Canyon from the bottom. My goodness. They say it even gets better at the bottom. I don't know. I haven't been there yet, but I'm going to tell you something. He's going to have to take me to the heights, to the depth, to the breadth, to the length. This is all the love of God, and He's bringing it to us. And so precious that, again, it's His faithfulness that does this. These Corinthians, itching ears, Galatians, itching ears, takes over you. Itching ears will always lead you to destructive paths. You know that? It does. I'm going to go over here and hear a little bit of this, and I'm going to take a little bit of this. Got a very dear Christian friend, and I love him so, and he sent me an email today, and I'm going to tell him I'm going to block it if I hear any more of that nonsense. Well, we got a prayer to a saint. Let me tell you something. I don't care how good that sounds. I don't care how wonderful that feels to you. That's idle idolatry. Know it. Know it. There is but one mediator. I go to one place and you do too, and that's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is it. If there's a saint and they've passed, praise God, they're with Him. But they're not going to do anything for me right now. It's just Jesus. Huh? Working, praise God, that Holy Spirit, His life in us. So let's know these things. So much talk about angels and things of that nature. Don't forget our Hebrew study. You know, don't forget that stuff. You know, these are thoughts that everybody's warm and fuzzy. Let me tell you, warm and fuzzy will take you away from the things of God. It'll I want the blood. You know, people say, oh, that doesn't sound real good to me. Let me tell you something. The blood's the best thing you've ever got. And it's the thing that continues to take you on. It's all there. It's all there, brothers and sisters. So let's know that. But these Thessalonians, which is so precious, they submitted under the ministry. Think about that. They submitted. They did. They accepted it. They said, Lord, this is where I need to be. They were willing to go. Willing to sacrifice. And they stood and they received the invitation into God's very best. And as we mentioned earlier, I think this is so important before we start here. The questions that they had concerning the things of God, they sought out Paul. They sought out Silas. They sought out Timothy. They went to the sources that there were the teachers and the preachers. Okay? And I appreciate that so. We have such resources by the grace of God. We really do. Whether it's in the internet, we have the different books. But most importantly, I'm telling you, we have brothers and sisters of like precious faith in this meeting that know the Word of God. Do not be afraid to ask questions. When our heart is open to something, and we may not know, and it says, search the Scripture. Sure, it's the Holy Spirit that brings the Word of God into our lives. But don't ever be so ignorant to think when we have resources of people that know and have studied, to think, well, I'm embarrassed, or I know and the Lord will reveal it to me. I'm sure Timothy asked Paul a whole lot of things. Huh? Sure he did. Okay? So let's not be that way and let's not be ashamed. I think it's sweet. I'll tell you, there's dear ones in this meeting, and I guess I can't say his name because every time I do, I get a phone call. But I'm just so thankful for my elders in this meeting who I've gone to and say, you know, I'd like to counsel with you on this. I'd like to talk to you about this. Let's pray, you know? And it's a precious thing. The Holy Spirit's still got to reveal it to you. I hope you understand that. It's not something that you're going to sit under and say, okay, we got course 101 and 102. No, don't work that way. There we go with my English. But you pay attention. But God, through that wondrous Spirit, that's our teacher, that's our comforter. And as we sit under that and we submit to that, God will bring us into that knowledge. There's a willing heart. He'll show it to them. Really will. Praise the Lord. So, they weren't caught up with the teachers of the world. They weren't caught up into the flesh-catching compromise, the touchy-feely philosophy. They weren't seeking a feeling. By the grace of God, they were in faith. And the bottom line is, we're going to find out that the Word profited these brothers and sisters. It profited them. Because it was mixed with faith. They believed God. And brothers and sisters, this is the very first chapter that we're going to start here, is the pattern for believers. And this is such a precious pattern that God has here for His people. And it's very specific. There's a very specific recipe that brings the sweetness and the flavors and all of those things out of the people of God. And it's here for us, all right? So let's go. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, right off the beginning, The only church is found in one place and one place only, and that's in God and His Son. Okay? It's just in God and His Son. All the other places, whether they're country clubs, or they're positive thinking tanks, or Boy Scout lodges, I hate to say that in certain ways, or synagogues of Satan, they just have the name church written with them. You understand that? I'm sure you know what I'm talking about if you do. And I'll just say it that clearly. Church is found in one place, the true meaning of church, and that's the ones that are in God and in His Son. All right? And it is that clear and it is that succinct, and I am that shallow, I guess, to the world, but there's but one way. Know it. Don't be ashamed of it. Be compassionate that people would want to hear, and hopefully it would be in love, but stand and withstand, and having done all, stand. Okay? You'll be thankful you did. You'll be sorry if you don't, and you will. All right? So, but as we read this, I think of how it mentions the three brothers and how it mentions God and His Son. And soon here in the fifth verse, we pick up the Holy Ghost. But there's this Trinity, obviously. And by the grace of God, just the oneness that's here. And that's how divine. That's why this is powerful, is because there's oneness. A house divided against itself is going to fall. We can't serve two masters. We can't be bickering amongst ourselves. I was visiting with the brother this week, and it was so precious. He said, you know, we have the truth. He was talking about these different meetings. And I said, yeah, that's precious. We do have the truth. And he says, but, you know, we just need to accept and that we have the truth. And I understood what he was saying. The Lord was moving me, though, and I was reading something of Brother Copley. And the one thing he said, he was talking about different meetings at his time. And he said, yes, and it's precious. There's many meetings that have truth, that really are preaching the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But the difference is, is the Spirit. It's the truth in love. And brothers and sisters, that's the thing that makes the difference, is that anointing. It's the power of His might. It becomes something that will be stale to you if it's not given and mixed with the love of God. And the Holy Spirit is the one that takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in our hearts. And that is something that, by His grace, that's the way He presents it. That's the way that it is magnified in our life. But again, this oneness. There was no division. There was no dissension there. And notice here, as it is in all the letters, and we read that in Peter as well too, to these churches, is its grace and peace. We mentioned this many times before. We heard it many years before in this wonderful meeting. It's always going to be grace first. Always going to be grace first. Because without grace, we'll never be able, we'll never be capable to receive anything from God. Did you know that? Tonight, it's just the grace of God that we're receiving any of this. It's not because we showed up. It's not because I did the right things today and I gave up my parking place to somebody that was there. I opened a door. As silly as that sounds, people think that that somehow would make them worthy or more acceptable to God. I appreciate that the Lord makes us nice people. I think we should. I think we should be loving. But it's grace. It's a gift. God has shown favor upon your life. He saw your heart in ages past. And He said, you know what? I know they're going to... I'm going to draw them here at this time, at this day, in this meeting, to hear this message. God, open our hearts. You know, let us receive this. What a wonderful thing, okay? So, here it is, brothers and sisters. It's all free, and it's never earned. From beginning to when we see Christ in ages to come, it's free, never earned. It's just His love to us. And going on with this is we understand without grace, and I'm talking to Christians, not just the world, because they're not even, you know, if you're not a Christian, you've never received grace in the first place, you know. The grace of God is there, but you've made it vain or void in your life. You've never accepted it if you haven't accepted Christ Jesus. Jesus is there for everybody. That grace is abundant for everybody to have. But without grace, brothers and sisters, we'll never have peace. Okay? And even as Christians, as we believe Christ is our Savior, I believe the very first and foremost paramount thing is to understand that we can never be separated from the love of God. That's the beginning of grace, that it is free, that I am favored, by that it is forever. Isn't that something? And that it's His faithfulness. So you think about it. It's free, it's forever, and it's His faithfulness. Isn't that something? Now I can begin to understand the grace of God. But the simplicity of that statement, free forever, and it's because He's faithful, just keep taking that on. Take that on. I need to receive this Holy Spirit. Well, it's free, it's forever, and it's His faithfulness. I need to see about the bride of Christ. It's free by the grace of God. If I attain, it's going to be forever by His grace, and it's in His faithfulness. Isn't that wonderful? And that's the simplicity to His depth, because we could never get that. It's just there for us. It's something that He gives us. And then when I understand that it is free, that it's forever, and it's His faithfulness, then I get what's called peace, but a peace that passes understanding. Isn't it? Uh-huh. Because I just know. People try, well, explain to me how you just know. I just know. Well, how do you know He's there? I just know. Huh? You know what I mean. You've taken that peach, haven't you? And you've eaten of it, and you're feasting of it. And as we do that more and more, it just becomes more real. And in that, praise God, then we grow. And in case, as we finish this very first verse up, in case we ever had any doubts, isn't it something? He tells us where the grace comes from, doesn't He? It comes from what? God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, amen. He gave us that gift, and He put it all in His Son. And there's nothing lacking. See, that's the thing. You talk about having all sufficiency for all things, that you would abound every good work. It's the grace of God, and it's there for us. And we're going to hit things in our lives. The Lord's bringing me into things right now, and it's wonderful. And I think in these last few years, how tremendous, you know, from being called into the ministry and all of these different things. Lord, I can't. But my grace can. I can, Son. And not just sufficient, it's always. And not just exceeding, it's exceeding abundantly. And beyond what you could ever ask, think. Isn't that wonderful? And it's God's. And it's His power. Nothing of me. And that's where I say, man, this is just the best. I'm facing this thing, and you know it. And there's always going to be a struggle. Sure, things are going to pull at us. That unbelief wants to pull at us, because you know what? We still are in this body. We're in this body, but I just keep reckoning it dead. I reckon that dead. I reckon that dead. You know, I can't go by what this sees. I can't go by what this, in a sense, hears. I have to know by the grace of God. My Redeemer. Yeah. And that's going to get it done. That's going to get it done. That's our all-powerful God. What a wonder that is. Praise His name. All right. Verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all. My. Making mention of you in our prayers. Now, what a commendation there. Always thankful for this group of believers. And I really believe by mercy and God's mercy and His grace, brothers and sisters, I believe that Brother Paul would say that about you. More importantly, I believe that the Lord is delighting in the steps of a good man. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Yeah. See, that's the beautiful thing about God. It's faith. You're not always, in a sense, naturally perfect, are you? I pray nobody would step up and say, well, God forbid. But see, this is the thing, is that Enoch pleased God because he walked with God, didn't he? He just walked with Him. You walking with God? I believe you are walking with God. You're after the deepest things by His grace. I do believe that there is sincerity as we come before Him to say, Lord, I want this. I'm not here for anybody else. I'm really not even, in a sense, I'm not here for you. I'm here for me because you brought me here. Boy, isn't that a selfish thought? No, I am. He told me to come in and take it. See, I love you more than anything. You've got to get your self-righteousness, check it at the door. Right. Say, Lord, I am here for that. I love you. I know this pleases you that I'm coming here to receive for myself. Isn't that wonderful? And in that, I can glory that my brothers and sisters in Christ are receiving. And it's just a marvelous thing how God does this. But again, he says here that there isn't one word of rebuke. There's no shame towards these saints. He's always thankful for all of them. I wonder which one was acting up that day. Was he still thankful for that one? Sure he was. Come on now. All right? Yeah. We got to get in tune with this. We're following this wonderful message, this messenger that God had used to bring through this anointed word as he followed Christ. And the key here, brothers and sisters, is they stayed with the stuff. They did. You know, we talk about that. What a wonderful thing to stay with the stuff. And they just never left the word in love, as we'll read through this. And this is what this verse 2, this is why he was always thankful for them, and all of them. And if you think about this, it's so sweetly similar to the church at Philadelphia, to the church at Smyrna. There wasn't anything that was against them. It was the perfect pattern because it was his pattern that was being worked in their lives. And I do believe that this is so precious, and especially for those that maybe just come into the meeting or that haven't been here very long. Look at what these brothers and sisters took of hold of immediately. Look at the high calling message that Brother Paul is being encouraged to give them. This was within 1 year of his ministry there, of his visiting. Can you imagine? I mean, we're going to get to chapter 5, guys, and my goodness, chapter 4 here, and we're going to talk about then which we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. He can bring it on awful fast, can he? Isn't that amazing? Now, Brother Paul was an example. Look at God had used him, aged that brother. This is God's work. And that's why we need to be excited when people have a heart for God. I mean, really excited. Brother Paul was so excited for people that had a heart for God. But the sweet thing about these brothers and sisters, which is so Philadelphia and Smyrna-like, is only the good works of truth, faith, and love were apparent in their life. He didn't go back and say, well, you know what, you guys are leaving your first love. You're backing off a little bit. He didn't say that your works were imperfect here. No, he didn't. We're not going to read that at all through these letters. It's so precious that there is the perfection that God is working in these young believers very quickly, and he's encouraging them to continue on in it. And notice the tone here as it's set. This tone is completely different than the tone that he went after the Corinthians in, didn't he? Huh? No, there was no pleading here on Paul's part. He's not pleading with them in any way, shape, or form. He is just giving sweet thanksgiving and peace to God in his prayers for them, because they're dear saints. They're on the right path. They're growing in grace and knowledge of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's an ease to it, isn't there? You know, when people do things right, it looks really easy. It does, you know? And there was a lot of temperance that was worked in there. There was a lot of faith. There was a lot of patience. You've heard me say it many times. When, you know, Michael Jordan used to take off from the top of the key and dunk the ball, it, you know, looked like the guy was just floating. It was effortless. It's just amazing. Nobody else I've ever seen do that. Because he had the ability. God gave that ability naturally to that man. And he developed it and all of those different things. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, that's his people. He's made you the vessel for perfection. Isn't that wonderful? And I'm talking about maturity, the mature sons of God. Now, you have that ability now to be exercised in that, to have the wonderful temperance and patience of God is so awesome to think, Lord, allow me to yield to that. Amazing stuff. All right, verse 3. Remembering. Well, there's a lot of things we remember, aren't there, huh? But this is something that he's encouraging us to remember. Remembering without ceasing. Doesn't even stop. It's always there. your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. See, even though the Word of God tells us to forget those things which are behind, the glory of the Lord we're always to remember. And Paul, Brother Paul, he gloried in these saints because of what they were taking. And by the grace of God, brothers and sisters, may we never ignore or take lightly the effectual working of the Word of God in people. Really? You know what I'm saying? It's so important when brothers and sisters take hold of the deep things of God, we need to be rejoicing with them. We need to be thankful that they're running, and by the grace of God, we're running with them. When people come into this meeting and seem to have a spark or some desire for the things of God, take the time. I mean that. This is precious. I mean, Paul, he said, "Woe is me." I hope we would say, "Woe is me." When we're led, when we see somebody across the way, and I've been there before, absolutely, in this meeting where, you know, I saw somebody come in and I thought, wow, that's really neat. That's nice. And then I left the door, you know. It was like, no, I think God was encouraging my heart, you know, not to attack or anything of that nature, but just, you know, love somebody and say, you know, it's wonderful to see you, you know, and just the love of God. And, you know, we sometimes come in here and I know that we're people, and sometimes we're feeling different ways. Our body might not be feeling as well. Allow the Lord to get you to look at the ones that are running the race. That'll thrill your heart. It will absolutely thrill your heart. You think about Brother Paul. You think about the conditions that he was in even in writing this. When he went there, he had just gotten out of the Philippian jail, in a sense, where they were beating him and Silas. But he was rejoicing to go there. And then they threw him out of there, and all he was doing was rejoicing and remembering their love of the truth, their faith. That'll really pick you up. It does me. And God will bring that. You don't realize how when he said he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, they're there for us. We just have to realize that, you know, God, I'm not my own. You know, we may come into this church and we maybe not come here often, or maybe we haven't been here long or something like that. It doesn't matter. If you're a Christian, you're not your own. You're His. You are His. Now you need to learn that, acknowledge it, and then allow Him to move in your life, to bring the things into your life. I mean, you're eternal. You know, you get that? I mean, the concept of it, that I'm seated, I'm new creation. We talk about this new creation, but I am part of the body of Christ. It's just amazing. Now, Lord, teach me, in its faith, how that Spirit operates that in my life. That's who I am. That's my seed. Praise God. I'm so grateful to Him that we can live like that, brothers and sisters. We really can. But when we see these brothers and sisters taking hold of the things of God, there shouldn't be anything that really is sweeter to our lives when new ones are taking hold of the things of God. Let that just thrill your heart, that there's souls that are wanting to win God's best. To observe others that are running well. And I've mentioned this to people before, and I'm not saying it for anything, but just to be truthful before the Lord. Many people ask me, they say, well, what could we do for you? And I appreciate that. It's awesome. You know, it's great. I got a lawn to cut. No, I'm just kidding. there's lots of things. Just run well. I mean, that is it. Run well. Finish with joy. Now, He's the author and finisher of our faith, but we have a choice by the grace of God to not just finish, but finish with joy. And that's something awfully special, brothers and sisters. And, you know, I think about how my dad growing up, he'd always have the Kentucky Derby on, and he always loved horses. He always loved to watch the horses. And I was watching those horses again this week, and sometimes I think there's not a more beautiful animal when they're running, you know. I mean, just the muscles and the sinews and all of that are just absolutely beautiful. And I had to think that, you know, I'm watching the thoroughbreds of truth and love. You know, that's what we're watching. Really. And the strides, the muscles of faith, you know, just boom, boom. And the determination. Oh, there's determination here. There's such determination you can't even imagine. You can't stop them. Beyond an Energizer bunny or any of that kind of stuff. I mean, you can't stop the working of that agape love in lives. They're going to finish with joy. I've seen bodies here that the Lord is allowed to completely, you know, He's allowed that disease, in a sense, in the worldly way, if you'd look at it that way, to take it. But that disease was healed upon the cross. See, when we're healed, we have to understand that we're healed. You know what I'm saying? He just made completely heal you and take you home. That's faith. See, you can't lose. You can't lose with Him. He's everything. And that's, we have to just understand that. And when we surrender to that, I'm telling you, the devil is just so defeated. I love it when he's down. All right. We're going to talk about this real quick and wrap this up. In here we find the three traits of full overcomers, brothers and sisters. The work of faith, in that third verse. The labor of love, and the patience of hope. And the very first one is the working of faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And thank the Lord for that. And these are lives that are manifesting faith in God and love. Manifesting, yes, that there is a mark, but they're not so caught up in the mark. I appreciate sweet Sister Carol bringing that out again. It is just so wonderful. We can get so caught up in the pressing or the suffering or all these things. Let's get caught up in the prize. Amen. And it is. There's a huge difference. These things are going to happen. They're going to come. We know that. God wasn't beating around the bush. They're right there. You're going to reign with me. You're going to suffer with me. You're going to do it. Okay? You deny the suffering. I'm going to deny you the right to reign. It's going to be like that. But Lord, when I get my eyes on the prize, when I get my eyes upon looking into Your eyes, man, it's just so wondrous where He takes us. It's Jesus. It's beholding Him. It's holding the one who adores me. It's wonderful. And this work of faith, brothers and sisters, is what we read about in 1 Corinthians there, or in the Corinthians study, where it said the building of gold, silver, and precious stone. And that is the working of faith in our lives. Faith is going to come into our lives and it's going to try us. That's the trying of our faith. And it's always, the wonderful thing about the trying of our faith is it always keeps us before the throne. It always keeps us in the throne room because we've got to apprehend the grace in order to have the faith in order to be that victorious Christian that God wants us to be. It's just the most amazing thing. God is working in us to have complete confidence in Him. Amen? Oh, amen. Absolutely. That, just as Enoch, I don't care what people think, in a sense. I mean, I do. I hope I please the Lord, and I hope that pleases you. But that's not what this life is about, brothers and sisters. Oh, no. It's that I please God. And it's impossible to please Him without faith. And that's what was so sweet about the, whether it was Elijah or whether it was Enoch. They pleased the Lord. They just pleased Him. They walked with Him. And I'm sure that they made some boo-boos along the way. The Word of God says at least a little bit about Elijah and different things. But the Lord, they walked with Him. All right, labor of love is the next one. And that's a desire, brothers and sisters, to please God. A labor of love is a desire to please God. Do you have a desire to please God? I believe you do. By His grace, you've accepted His invitation to come to even a Bible study. But it's a desire to please God because He so loves us. This is a heart, brothers and sisters, that is thankful. This is a heart that is filled with gratitude. And when hearts are thankful and filled with gratitude, the love of God just oozes out. It oozes back to Him. because he's given it to us, and it goes out towards one another. It's a wonderful thing. And I believe Brother Copley says it so sweetly as well, too. He says that it's a heart that doesn't labor to love. It's a heart that loves to labor. And there's a difference there. And I think it's really sweet. You love to labor by the grace of God because of his love for us. It's a joyful, willing heart that's full of the love of God. It's a heart that allows him to will and to do of his good pleasure in our life. It's a heart that is standing perfect and complete in all the will of God. See, there has to be a desire for these things, brothers and sisters. Not a desire for some of the Word of God or partial of the Word of God. We're talking about the high calling of God in Christ Jesus' message. All right? And it is. It's a pressing thing. It's an intense love affair. I want someone that intensely loves me. And I believe my wife, for the most part, no, I'm just kidding, she intensely loves me. You have to be, because I'm intense. So you have to love intense. That God's just made that. But it is. He wants us to intensely love Him. Because He intensely loves us. It's wonderful and beautiful to see that how God comes in and loves us like that and is pressing us all the way along. And only He could love us like that. And it's just so beautiful that we could even have a heart that's filled with all the fullness of God. All right, the last one, and we'll close with this. The patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a hard one. People scratch their heads. Oh man, what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you, it's very sweet. It's just patiently and faithfully waiting and loving His appearing. That's the epitome of it all. It's loving His appearing. It's understanding that, you know, Lord, I'm here for a purpose, and I'm here for a purpose to win You, and You've asked me to be patient in this and to wait and to love Your appearing. And that's just what faith love does. You see, there is a difference. It's faith love, not just faith. It's not just love, and we've had all of those examples of you dry up with all the truth, you blow up with all the love, but you get them together and you grow up, and it's such a beautiful thing. And it's the truth. You know it. We all go through those things. Well, I'm standing on it. You're not standing on anything. You're just being obnoxious, and you're just trying to get your own way. And then you've got, you know, the... a little free here tonight, but you know, you got the pew jumper that's jumping over all the pews and hugging, and you know, where was the truth? The sitting down and learning of the love of God. You get them both in balance, and then there's mighty power that happens, and it's awesome what God can do. But see, that's what God is working here, and that's what this faith love, and faith love wants us to, causes us to want to be with Him, causes us to want to look for Him. It causes us to understand that it will be worth it all when we see Christ, doesn't it? Isn't that wonderful? That the glory to be revealed in us, it's not worthy to compare the light affliction, which is but for a moment. God is bringing this home to us. But I think in closing, what's so precious to me, read the last part of that third verse again. It says, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. And I'm going to tell you something. Seeing Christ in the presence of the Father someday and seeing Him like He's getting at here, do you realize that this is going to be a time that the Father rejoices like none other time? Do you realize that? Do you realize that this is the time that He's talking about here when His Son is going to take that goodly pearl? This is an exciting time. This is the time, brothers and sisters, when God the Father is going to rejoice in the Lamb's wife who will forever love His Son. Who will forever be with His Son. And that's just like any good father would want for his son. Think about it, really, you dads out there and moms. I've got two boys, and if the Lord tarry, I think it's inevitable that they will marry. I pray that it's a woman that will love them equally as they love her. Do you know God can do that, and He's doing that in the bride? She's going to love Him with the same love because it's the grace of God. Now, what a union that'll be. Can you imagine how incredibly excited the Father's going to be as He's going to look upon His Son with His dear wife? all those years, son. I saw you upon that cross for this. I knew it was good and we rested. I knew it was finished back then and you did it. And here's your reward. And she's with you. That's pretty awesome stuff. Yeah. All right, let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for bringing us the Word of God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, encourage your people this evening. Let it be real to us. Open our hearts and continuing to open them throughout the week. I'm so thankful for lives, Lord, that you're causing to take the time to redeem this time. This is important. We get to bed a little bit later on a Wednesday. Greatest thing we could ever get to bed late with is thinking of you. We just praise your name for it. Encourage us in you. Keep us safe as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen.